Who does your data belong to? I mean, all those details of your life, your bank account information, your spending, your search history. Does it belong to corporations, the government, or does it belong to you? The question is being fought out right now in courts and legislatures, and the outcome could have profound implications for your own freedom and autonomy. If you're concerned about this, have a listen to the five big ideas from Our Data, Ourselves, A Personal Guide to Digital Privacy by Jacqueline Lipton. Jacqueline is a faculty member at the University of Pittsburgh Law School, and she has some big ideas about what you can do to protect your own data. Here she is.
I'm Jackie Lipton, and I'm a faculty member at the University of Pittsburgh School of Law, where my research focuses on the impact of digital technology on various areas of legal regulation. My most recent book is Our Data, Ourselves, A Personal Guide to Digital Privacy, published recently by the University of California Press. I'm pleased to have this opportunity to share with you five insights from that book. My own interest in personal privacy developed over several decades and stems from my fascination with the way digital technology has impacted the law across many areas. I've written widely on a number of cyber law topics, including the impact of digital technology on various aspects of intellectual property and commercial law. New technologies always challenge existing legal paradigms, and the impact of new technology on privacy is no exception. In a world where Target might know you are pregnant before your significant others do because you bought a pregnancy test at their pharmacy, we need to rethink our approach to the protection of our personal data when the consequences of failing to do so can be stark. Last century, privacy largely occupied a dusty old corner of American law, with a handful of cases under some privacy torts slipped into sections of legal textbooks that were often skipped over in the interests of time. Not many law schools taught privacy as a separate subject, and those that did focused on the Fourth Amendment and the due process requirements that police get a warrant to intrude into areas a suspect may reasonably be expected to be kept private, like homes, automobiles, and private correspondence. Digital technology changed much about personal privacy, including the scale of intrusions into personal information and personal life by both government and private actors. Yet most people still don't understand how little privacy protection we have and what we can do to protect our personal data. The book is arranged in terms of privacy in various different contexts, with chapters on privacy at home, at school, at work, on social media, healthcare privacy, financial privacy, and the like. But my five idea bites relate to more general themes underlying the book. My first insight is, you have no privacy, get over it. This is an oft-cited saying coined by the CEO of Sun Microsystems, Scott McNeely, in 1999. If it is true that we have no privacy, and I believe it gets more true as the years pass, is the solution really to get over it? Or are there things we can do to protect our privacy and autonomy in a digital world? Can we be more vigilant about educating ourselves on who holds what information about us and monitoring what they are doing with it? As I discuss in the book, America takes a sectoral approach to privacy, protecting certain types of information more stringently than others. We have a detailed health information privacy regime under HIPAA and a number of laws that protect the privacy of financial and educational data. One of our problems is that individuals don't fully understand the rights that those laws give them and the way private entities seek our consent to give away private information consistently with those laws. While a more comprehensive legal approach to digital privacy may be preferable to the system we currently have, a better understanding of the current system is a good starting point for protecting individual privacy. My second insight might be called, we have no expressly articulated constitutional right to privacy in the United States. Do you believe it? It's actually true that we have no expressly articulated constitutional right to privacy in this country. Many readers assume erroneously that our Constitution does protect privacy, We do have some implied protections under, say, the First and Fourth Amendments, the rights to free speech and due process. But those are very limited and only protect us against government intrusions and not against the myriad data gathering activities of private entities like Netflix and Amazon. Many other countries, notably European countries, enshrine privacy as a constitutional right that must be balanced against other rights like free speech, national security, governmental action, etc. Those countries typically also have dedicated government officers whose charge is to protect privacy and investigate privacy threats and harms. In the United States, our closest analogue is the Federal Trade Commission, or FTC. However, the FTC's power to investigate privacy concerns is incidental to its other powers to investigate misleading, deceptive, and harmful trade practices. It has investigated a number of digital privacy incursions in recent years, but its powers are much more limited than the powers of data protection officers in European Union countries and other countries. The third insight I want to share is also a common saying. You may have heard people say, if you're not paying for the product, you are the product. This has been a shorthand way of saying that when companies offer you free products and services, those products and services aren't really free. You're paying with your own personal data. When you download an app for free, for example, the app's creator is likely to be monitoring how you use the app, who you connect with, and also may be selling your data to others who are interested in selling you their products and services. They may even be selling your data to data aggregators who compile large compendiums of individual profiles that they can sell to anyone who is interested in finding out more about you. It has been very difficult for the government to regulate these practices effectively, both at the federal and state level, although there have been some attempts in recent years, largely at the state levels. There is also little political will to regulate these activities when the corporations who profit from transacting with your data have more lobbying power than private individuals and privacy interest groups like the EFF, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and EPIC, the Electronic Privacy Information Centre. I'm going to get a little bit more theoretical with my fourth insight, and you may call it the transparent society. What I'm referring to here is the argument that is sometimes made that lack of privacy may be a good thing for society rather than something to be concerned about. This concept has been raised in a number of books and movies, including David Brin's The Transparent Society and Dave Eggers' The Circle, which was also made into a movie. The idea is that if everyone knows everything about everyone else, we can combat social ills like racism, sex, and gender discrimination. With perfect information, we can become a more perfect society. I've never personally subscribed to that theory, because more and more information is available about us all the time, and that information tends to be used to manipulate groups with common beliefs and to perpetuate more discrimination. Crimes like fraud and ID theft increase when more information is more readily available. The challenges we face with more information may have more to do with information imbalances than with the idea of sharing our information more generally. However, it's difficult for me to imagine a world, even with perfectly shared information, where imbalances won't inevitably occur. In a country as polarized as the United States currently is, my own feeling is that sharing all of our personal information would actually do a lot more harm than good. My fifth and final insight might be termed the Big Brother is watching you argument. This is a very well-known quote from George Orwell's novel 1984. In Orwell's dystopian future, it was the government that was doing all the watching. But of course, in our society, private entities collect a lot more of our data than the government. For example, for a number of years, media outlets reported that Facebook's facial recognition technology, which significantly impacted member privacy, dwarfed that of the FBI. Late in 2021, Facebook, which now calls itself Meta, made the decision to switch off its facial recognition settings due to concerns about privacy. Facebook has had an ongoing battle over how it uses its members' personal information, and we do periodically see it revisiting its various privacy settings and practices, so this is an example of that. But Facebook is only one of a myriad companies that develops large databases of personal information about users that it can use internally or sell to others. In other words, widely available digital technology that can be used to harvest, aggregate, and transact in personal data ultimately causes us to fight privacy battles on a number of fronts, and many of our current legal restrictions on unauthorized data use apply to the government rather than to the private sector, which limits the protection we have. In America today, it's become imperative that we understand what privacy rights we have and increasingly what rights we don't have. Given the lack of a clear and comprehensive legal framework to protect individual privacy, a lot of the impetus to protect our data falls squarely on our own shoulders. The book provides hints and tips for monitoring and protecting what is done with our own personal information. While the legal picture is a little depressing at the moment, we're not helpless in the face of privacy incursions, and hopefully my suggestions in the book will help readers to take back some control in a system that moves increasingly toward controlling us.
Thank you, Jacqueline. That was Jacqueline Lipton with five big ideas from Our Data, Ourselves, A Personal Guide to Digital Privacy. For more along these lines, check out our book bite for If It's Smart, It's Vulnerable by Mikko Huppanen. I'm Caleb Bissinger. Thanks for listening.